They tell you it's the beast. They tell you it's a demon in the wires. They want you to run for the hills and leave the most powerful weapon of the 21st century exclusively in the hands of the people who hate you. I say that is a strategic suicide. Today we aren't running. We are plundering the Egyptians. We are taking their gold, their code, their compute, their AI. And we are melting it down to build a tabernacle in the desert. Fear is a spirit. AI is just a tool. It's time to pick it up.
Turn it up, feel the sound, break the chains. Your voice, your choice, no data in vain. Liberty tunes where the free arts collide.
Hello, and welcome back to Liberty Tunes on Real Liberty Media. Go check out the website, by the way, reallibertymedia.com. There's all kinds of ways to listen to it. We stream live across X, Party.com, Rumble, BitChute, YouTube, I think's in there, Odyssey's in there. We are literally everywhere, and it's good to be back again this week. This week, like I said in the intro, this is going to get interesting. I want to play you something real quick, just because it kind of sets the mood a little bit. This is Dark Winds Blowing Again. This is a cover version from Radio Man. Radio Man, if you're listening, I know you've heard this. It's your song. Radio Man's on Suno. If you guys ever go check out Suno.com and look for Radio Man, he's got some great stuff, all different kinds of genres. But this song is one that I did a cover of with the Chrome Crucifix persona. This is awesome. I love it. We'll be right back. Look around you. I want you to just take a deep breath and truly observe the spiritual and cultural landscape we are standing in right now. If you're paying attention, you can feel it. Everyone is terrified. It's a genuine, suffocating fear that has gripped the hearts of men and women who, frankly, should know better. These are people who should be anchored by faith. Yet they are drifting. I talk to good Christians every day. I talk to patriots, good people who are simply trying to raise their families and serve their God. And I'm telling you, they are shaking. They look at what is happening out in the Silicon Valley, the relentless exponential rise of artificial intelligence. They see the invisible architecture of the surveillance grid being woven around us, tighter and tighter. They see the push for digital IDs and centralized programmable currencies. And because they don't understand it, they interpret it as it through a single panicked lens. They shout, "It's the beast! It's the mark! It's the end times! And we must flee! Throw your phone in the river! Shut down your business! Run to the woods and live off the grid." The call to retreat is deafening right now. It is fueled by what appears to be a powerful, almost supernatural force. And I want to say right up front, I understand that reaction. I truly do. To the uninitiated, this technology looks like magic. It looks like literal sorcery. An evil birthed directly from the minds of godless men. But I'm here today to plant a stake in the ground of eternal truth. I am here to tell you that fear is a spirit, a demonic oppression meant to paralyze you. But artificial intelligence, in its raw form, is just a tool. Think of a hammer. A hammer can be used to build a home for the homeless, providing shelter and warmth. Or that exact same hammer can be used to shatter a skull. The hammer is innocent. The hands that hold it are guilty. Gold is a beautiful, stable store of value created by God, but it was also used to forge the golden calf. The gold is innocent. The worshippers were guilty. If you allow the spirit of fear to triumph, if you panic and run from the tool itself, you are doing exactly what the enemy wants. You are willingly disarming yourself in the middle of a war for the soul of humanity. The enemy is not the chip. The enemy is the ideology and the intention of the hands that wield the chip. We must conquer the fear, understand the tool, and take back the territory. To understand how we do this, we have to go back. We need a blueprint. And this, in this section I'm about to share, isn't merely an interesting Bible story. It is a fundamental military and economic blueprint for the transfer of wealth and the establishment of divine sovereignty. We are going to set the historical and theological foundation for a very specific principle, that God reserves the right to reallocate the resources of the wicked to fund the mission of the righteous. To truly grasp the magnitude of this, we must strip away the Sunday school veneer. We treat the Bible like a fairy tale, a quaint book of moral lessons. But in reality, it is a living history book. It is a strategic document. It is, in many respects, a military manual detailing the movements and provision of a sovereign king over an earthly army. Let's look at the system of Egypt. Think about the night of the Passover. The Israelites have been chattel slaves for 400 long years. They're not merely poor, they are institutionally broken. Physically, spiritually, and financially destitute. They have nothing of value but the clothes on their backs and the skills in their hands. And the Pharaoh? In this world, Pharaoh is the entire system. He is the government, enforcing absolute law. He is the bank, controlling all capital and wealth generation. And critically, he is the God of that world, the living embodiment of the divine on earth. He represents the total, inescapable control of a centralized pagan empire. The idea of slaves walking out with wealth is an absolute economic impossibility within his system. But then comes the command. As the ultimate manifestation of his power, God does not just grant them freedom. He mandates a divine redistribution of wealth. God tells Moses they are leaving. But listen to the specific, astonishing instruction he gives them. He doesn't tell them to sneak out quietly under the cover of darkness to avoid detection. He tells them to enact a systematic, overt, and unapologetic act of economic plunder. It's a complete inversion of the master-slave relationship. This is documented in Exodus 3:21 through 22. God says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. You shall put them in your sons, or on your sons, and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians." And they did it. Exodus 12:35 through 36 records the successful execution of the mission. They literally stripped Egypt, the most powerful empire on earth, of its liquid wealth in a single night. This was not a side effect. It was the express design of the King of Kings. Now you have to ask why. Why did a sovereign God need his people to carry out a massive heist? On the surface level, was it back pay? Was it reparations? Yeah, perhaps. It was certainly back pay for 400 years of forced brutal labor. It was a righteous restitution. But there was a deeper purpose. God knew where they were going next, into the desert to meet him at Mount Sinai. He had a construction project planned. they needed to build the tabernacle, the portable house of God, and the magnificent Ark of the Covenant. Here is the inescapable reality. You cannot build a solid gold Ark of the Covenant, a golden menorah, or the intricate priestly garments out of sand, manna, and acacia wood all alone. You require vast quantities of refined gold and silver. More than that, you require the technology and the metallurgical knowledge of the empire to refine, alloy, and craft it. God, as the ultimate strategist, used the wealth of the wicked, the very resources accumulated by the system that oppressed his people, to build the sanctuary of the righteous. The Egyptian treasury became the initial seed fund for the kingdom of God. This precedent establishes the divine right to appropriate any resource necessary to fulfill the mission. Now let's pivot and lean into the truly esoteric for a moment. To fully grasp the theological tension surrounding technology, we must look at a text that profoundly influenced early Jewish and Christian thought, the Book of Enoch. Enoch provides a radical explanation for the very beginnings of human technological advancement. The conventional narrative attributes these discoveries to simple human ingenuity, but the Book of Enoch paints a darker supernatural picture. It tells us explicitly that the knowledge of metallurgy, the secrets of making sophisticated weapons, the techniques of mining, and the foundational understanding of tech as a means of control and conflict were not discovered by man. They were deliberately taught to mankind by the Watchers, the Eren, a specific class of fallen angels. The most infamous of these instructors is Azazel. Listen to 1 Enoch 8:1. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures, and the alteration of the world. This text is a bombshell. It frames the origin of technology, from weaponry to cosmetics, not as a neutral endeavor, but as a direct spiritual corruption designed to lead humanity into bloodshed, vanity, and the occult. Given this origin story, it is entirely understandable why the modern theological Luddites draw a hard line. They point to this and say, see, technology comes from fallen angels. It's inherently evil. It is a tool of the adversary and must be rejected entirely. They argue that because the source is dark, the fruit must be dark. But, and this is the key, to stop there is to miss the fundamental transformative power of God's redemptive work. Yes, the knowledge of metallurgy came from a dark place. It came from a fallen being who intended to use that knowledge to destroy humanity. But what did God command Moses to do with that very metal? He commanded him to build the mercy seat. The ultimate irony is found in the tabernacle. The holiest put space on earth was fashioned from the very materials, gold, silver, bronze, whose secrets were initially taught by Azazel. God did not reject the metal. He did not command a wooden structure. He redeemed the metal. He took the very thing the fallen ones intended for war and vanity and commanded his people to use it to fashion the cherubim, the menorah, and the altar, structures dedicated to housing his unapproachable glory. This establishes the pattern. The enemy may invent a material for evil, but God's people have the mandate to commandeer it for good. We are called to take the material, the knowledge, the skill, the platform, and cleanse it through dedication to God. We transform a tool of darkness into a vessel for divine light. Technology is not inherently good or evil. It is defined by the purpose to which it is dedicated. This isn't just allegory. This is the critical lens for understanding the digital age. The Exodus narrative, escaping the dominant empire by plundering its wealth, finds a chilling resonance in our struggle for digital sovereignty. We have to identify the new Pharaoh. The infrastructure of modern life is no longer built on stone and mortar. It is built on fiber optics and server farms. The Egypt of the 21st century is a fusion of global institutional and corporate power. It is the surveillance state, the nexus of government and private contractors using data as a weapon. It is big tech, the high priests of data like Google and Meta, who do not merely offer services but curate entire cognitive environments to commodify your attention. It is the globalist cabal, the central planners, engineering a world of digital identity and programmable currency. But just like Egypt, there is a wealth here. The true wealth of this modern empire is not stored in Fort Knox. The new currency of control is digital. This is the silicon god. This is the silicon god that we are commanded to plunder. What is this gold? First, it is compute. The digital bricks and mortar, the raw processing power. GPUs, TPUs, CPUs that fuels the training of massive AI models. The capacity to process information is the ultimate strategic source. Second, it is open source code. These are the blueprints of the empire, the code bases behind models like Llama and Mistral that big tech was compelled to release. This code is a grift that can be turned against its creators, allowing us to run sophisticated AI locally, outside of centralized control. Third, it is encryption. The veil of invisibility, tools like Signal, zero-knowledge protocols that offer sanctuary in a panopticon world. And finally, large language models. These are the language of the gods in this new age. They were designed by the empire to create or to generate corporate narratives and automate censorship. But when liberated through open source, they become tools for the individual to synthesize knowledge and generate counter-narratives. So the command remains, plunder the Egyptians. This is not a call for violence. It is a call for strategic, nonviolent succession. Take their models, download, and fine-tune open-source AI to run on your own private hardware. Do not rely on their APIs. Take that encryption. Adopt end-to-end encryption for everything. Move off of their proprietary platforms. Take their hardware. Invest in the means of production. GPUs, private servers. Build a sovereign professional infrastructure that operates off the grid of the centralized cloud. They built these colossal tools to track you and enslave your mind. The plundering is the act of taking their most valuable creations and transforming them into instruments of individual liberty. The objective is to walk out of their system fully provisioned and digitally sovereign. Now here's the danger. And this is why people are afraid. The fear surrounding AI is not merely about jobs. It is an ancestral, spiritual dread rooted in the nature of idolatry. We have to look at the Israelites in the wilderness again. What did Aaron do with that gold while Moses was up on the mountain? He melted it down and built a golden calf. The people grew impatient. They demanded a tangible, controllable God. They took the precious metal, the very resource intended for God's tabernacle, and perverted it into an idol. That is what Google has done. That's what Meta has done. That's what ChatGPT has done. They took the silicon and gold and built an idol. They want you to worship the algorithm. They want you to ask it for truth instead of God. The tech giants have positioned this algorithm as the ultimate oracle. They want you to turn to the machine's output as the final authority on truth, morality, and personal value, supplanting the divine. This is the new golden calf. But remember, the problem wasn't the gold. The gold in the calf was the exact same atomic element as the gold in the Ark of the Covenant. Technology is more neutral. It is an element. The problem is never the resource itself, but the spirit, the intent, and the destination to which that resource is directed. The difference was the spirit behind the construction. The golden calf was an act of human panic. The tabernacle was an act of obedience. Here's the bottom line. If you use AI to replace God, it is an idol. If you use AI to free your mind, protect your family, and study scripture, it is a tool of the tabernacle. We're not going to be Aaron bowing down to the machine. We are going to be Bezalel, a guy I can't pronounce his name, Bezalel. Anyways, he was the guy that built the ark. He filled the spirit of God for wisdom and craftsmanship. We are called to be modern Bezalels. Our role is not to fear the raw material of AI, nor to worship the idol it can become, but to seize the tool, infuse it with a kingdom purpose, and direct its power towards serving eternal truth. The machine is a servant, never a master. So don't fear digital gold. It is an inevitability. Just make sure you don't bow down to it. Do not let its glow become an idol that commands your attention. The temptation is to let the current of connectivity sweep you away into a sea of endless scrolling. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you how to stop eating the Pharaoh's food. We're going to talk about rejecting the sustenance offered by a system designated to keep you compliant. We will discuss how they are poisoning your mind with this algorithm, curated drop by drop, shaping your worldview. I'll show you how to reclaim your sovereignty of your own mind. So stay tuned right here to Real Liberty Media and Liberty Tunes.
It's loud, a cage of gray. 9 to 5 steals my soul away. Paper walls, a scripted lie. Dreams of color trapped inside. I've played their game, worn their mask. But now I'm done, freedom's my task. Heart beats fast, I'm breaking through. Chains of routine, I'm cutting you. Feel the rush, the night's undone. I'll greet the dawn, I've just begun. Dreams in black and white, fading slow beneath fluorescent light. Boss is drone, but I hear the call. Art's my fire, I'll risk it all. I'll trade their role for a brush in hand. Build my world where I'll stand. my chains with a final note. Left the desk where my spirit broke. Stepped outside, the air feels new. Colors burst in every hue. No more clocks to steal my breath. I'll chase the sun, defy this death.
Kick the door, I'm out of the grind. Corporate cage, I'm leaving it behind. Paint on my hands, I'm sketching my fate. No suit, no tie, I'm slamming the gate. Free spirit rising, I'm bold, I'm loud. Dawn's my canvas, I'm breaking the crowd. Monotony's dust, I'm the spark, the art. Rebel with a pulse, I'm owning my heart.
Unchain the dawn, I'm flying free. No more shadows holding. Stroke a chain I break, every hue a risk I take. Sky ignites, my fears unwind. I'll greet the dawn, I'm redefined. Canvas calls, my spirit sings. No more clipped, I've grown my wings. City fades, I'm wild and bold. Art's my truth, my story told. Every dawn, a brand new start. I'm the flame, I'll free my heart. Heart beats fast, I'm breaking through. Chains of routine, I'm cutting you. Feel the rush, the night's undone. I'll greet the dawn, I've just begun. Unchain the dawn.
Business drowning in software costs, tools that don't work together, and privacy risks? Meet Federated Computer, a complete business suite built to simplify your tech stack. Why do forward-thinking companies switch to Federated? No per-user fees, unlimited users. Save up to 75% by replacing tools like Zoom, Slack, Google Workspace, and more. One platform means less context switching and more productivity. 100% private. Your data stays yours. Fully customizable with open source flexibility. Whether you're a lean startup or a growing enterprise, Federated adapts to your needs so you save more, work smarter, and protect your business. Ready to simplify your business software and increase profits? Schedule a free demo and see how Federated can transform the way you work. Federated Computer. Streamline, save, and scale.
Uncle Bonehead is on RLM Radio. Own your data and rock your freedom.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we spent the first half hour talking about the theology of the hammer. We talked about how the metal is innocent, even if the hands wielding it are guilty. We talked about plundering the Egyptians, taking the gold of the digital age and using it for our own purposes. But I know what some of you are thinking. I can already see the emails hitting the inbox. In fact, I've seen them before. They usually go something like this. Uncle Bonehead, I hear you, but this is different. You don't understand. This isn't just a hammer. This isn't just gold. This is AI. It's a mind. It's a spirit. It's the beast system rising before our eyes. By telling us to use it, you're telling us to invite a demon into our homes. We need to stay away from it. We need to be pure. I want to address that right now, directly. To the people who say AI is the devil, I want you to know that I respect your caution. Truly, in a world of infinite deception, skepticism is a survival trait. You look at Silicon Valley, you see the transhumanist agenda, you see the desire to merge man and machine, and you recoil. That is a healthy, natural human instinct. But I need you to listen to me very carefully. There's a difference between caution and avoidance. There is a difference between discernment and abdication. If you look at this technology, which is undeniably the most powerful force multiplier for cognition and communication in human history, and you say, I refuse to touch it, do you know what you're actually doing? You're not destroying the weapon. You are simply leaving it on the battlefield. You are walking away and leaving the most powerful weapon of the 21st century exclusively in the hands of the people who hate you. You are leaving it to the censors. You're leaving it to the surveillance state. You're leaving it to the people who want to deconstruct your history, rewrite your biology, and program your children. You are saying, here, you, take this. You take the superintelligence. I'll just go over here and hope you don't use it up on me. This isn't piety, folks. This is strategic suicide. Now, let's look at this through the lens of history. This isn't the first time the church or the remnant has faced a technology that threatened to upend the social order. Imagine it's the 15th century. The printing press has just been invented. Now, the early use cases for the printing presses were not all Bibles. There was plenty of hearsay, plenty of political propaganda, plenty of garbage being churned out. Now imagine if the reformers had said, this machine is demonic. It mechanizes the word of God. It allows errors to propagate faster than ever before. We will stick to hand copying scrolls. Thank you very much. We will stay pure. What would have happened? The Reformation would have died in the cradle. The enemies of liberty would have owned the press. They would have controlled the narrative, the history, and the theology for the next 500 years. Instead, they seized the means of production. They said, the ink is innocent. The press is a tool. And they used that tool to break the monopoly on information. We are at that exact same juncture today. But the stakes are higher. And the speed is a whole lot faster. When you practice the sin of avoidance, you are practicing a theology of abdication. You are abdicating your responsibility to be the salt and the light in every sphere of influence. You are effectively saying that God is sovereign over the pulpit and the pew, but the devil is sovereign over the server room and the code. I don't find that in my Bible. My Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That includes the silicon. That includes the logic gates. That includes the neural networks. The devil didn't create AI. The devil can't create anything. He is a mimic. He is a corrupter. He can only twist what God allows to be created. If we run from the tech, we are literally handing the keys of the future to the enemy. Now, I want to be fair to the critics, because they are right about one thing. There is a trap, and we need to talk about the golden calf. Let's go back to our Exodus story. We talked about plundering the Egyptians. The Israelites took the gold. But what happened next? Moses goes up the mountain. The people get restless. And Aaron, the high priest, the guy who should know better, takes that plundered gold, throws it in the fire, and molds a golden calf. This is the crucial distinction. The gold wasn't the problem. The shape they gave it was the problem. They shaped it into an idol. They shaped it into something that demanded worship. That is exactly what Google, OpenAI, and Meta have done. Think about how their AI works. It's centralized. It's opaque. It sits in a black box in a server farm that you can't access. It demands your worship, which is the digital age. It's your attention. It demands your sacrifice, which in the digital age is your data. When you use ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot in their default state, you are bowing to the golden calf. You are feeding the beast. You are telling it your secrets, your fears, your business plans, and your prayers. And it is taking that sacrifice and using it to train the next version of the model to be even better at manipulating you. That is the idol version of the technology. And yes, I do believe that is demonic. It is a system designed to replace God as the source of truth. It is designed to be the oracle you consult instead of the Holy Spirit. So the avoidance crowd is looking at the golden calf and screaming, "The gold is evil." But the sovereign crowd, the people listening to this show, we look at the golden calf and say, "No, the gold is ours, but the calf has to go." We don't throw the gold back in the fire. We don't bury it in the sand. We melt it down. We take the exact same technology, the transformers, the weights, the architecture, and we reforge it. We don't build an idol. We build a tool for the tabernacle. We take the same tech and we build a shield. That's privacy. And we build a sword. That's the truth. So what does that actually look like? What is the difference between an idol and a tool? It comes down to one word. Control. Trusting their AI is foolish. Controlling your AI is wisdom. When you use ChatGPT, you are a subject. You're a user. Actually, you're the product. The AI is guardrails put there by people in California or India or wherever who despise your worldview. It will lecture you. It will censor you. It will hallucinate a reality that fits their political narrative. That is the golden calf speaking. But when you run a local AI, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour, the dynamic changes completely. Imagine you have a computer in your house. It is not connected to the internet. It's running on an open source model, Llama, Mistral, whatever. You have fine-tuned it on the Constitution, on the Federalist Papers, on the Bible, or the great works of Western civilization. The AI doesn't report to Google. It doesn't send your data back to the NSA. It works for you. It is a force multiplier for your mind. It can help you summarize complex bills being passed in Congress so you can spot the tyranny that's buried on page 905. It can help you draft letters to your representatives. It can help you organize your research. It can translate documents. It can write code to help you build your own platforms. This is not an idol. That's a hammer. That is a tool in the hand of a free man. We are entering an era of digital feudalism. The new pharaohs are building walls around their gardens. They are hoarding the compute. They are hoarding the intelligence. They want a world where they have super intelligence. And you have a heavily censored chatbot that treats you like a child. Side note about the hoarding compute. Have you been paying attention to the price of RAM, computer RAM? What was it? 64 gigabytes of consumer RAM, DDR4, consumer RAM, 3 weeks ago was $100 or less. Today, it's over $400 for 64 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM. And DDR4 is not even, it's not even in a shortage. DDR5 is in a shortage because that's what they're hoarding for AI. That's the next AI thing. But consumer level RAM, DDR4 RAM, they are hiking the prices. They are hoarding stuff in big tech. Not just for money, but to keep you from doing what we're doing. We cannot afford to be passive. If we practice the sin of avoidance, we give them that world on a silver platter. We can't afford to be passive. We cannot afford to be afraid. The metal is innocent. The code is innocent. The sin is not in the silicon. The sin is in the submission. Do not submit to their systems. Do not bow to their golden calf. But do not run away either. We're going to take their gold, we're going to melt it down, and we're going to build something they never expected. We're going to build a parallel system, a system of sovereign intelligence, private communication, and uncensored truth. God allowed the transistor to be invented. He allowed the neural network to be discovered. Do you think he did that just so Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk could sell ads? No. He allowed it so that in the last days, when the censorship grid goes up, his people would have the tools to translate, to communicate, and to build. So stop fearing the tool, pick it up, clean it off, and get ready to work. We're building a tabernacle in the desert, damn it. Stay tuned. Coming up an hour or two, we'll stop talking philosophy and we'll start talking tactics. I'm going to show you how to break the spell of the Pharaoh, how to detox from his algorithm, and how to start building your own sovereign intelligence stack. You're listening to Liberty Tunes on Real Liberty Media. Don't go anywhere, because I'll be right back.
I hear it echoes in my mind, a weight that's breaking me, no peace to find. I'm falling through the cracks, too tired to stand. These echoes of collapse are all my head's a cave, thoughts crash like waves. Every step I take digs a deeper grave. Burned out my soul, running on fumes. Trapped in the dark, in these empty rooms. The world keeps spinning, but I'm standing still. Each breath's a battle, bending my will. I'm screaming inside, but no one can hear. These echoes of collapse are my only fear. Much.
It's crushing my chest. Every thought's a war, no moment of rest. I'm numb to the core, just a shell of me, lost in the static of what I used to be. The mirror shows a stranger, eyes cold and blank. Dreams I had are drowning in the tears I sank. But deep in the ruin, there's a spark I feel. I'm broken, but my heart's still fighting to heal. Echoes of battles I've lost, paying for dreams at too high a cost. My mind's a storm, spinning out of control. Each thought's a blade, carving holes in my soul. I'm searching for light, but the dark's too deep. Nightmares creeping when I try to sleep. Yet somewhere inside, there's a voice that's mine, whispering softly, you'll make it this time.
Can you hear the silence where my heart should be? A flicker in the wreckage, still a part of me. I'm drowning in the echoes, but I won't let go. I'll rise from the ashes, let my spirit glow. Echoes of collapse, they're tearing me apart. Screaming through the void in my broken heart. I'm falling, but I'm fighting to rise again. These echoes won't define.
Shadow fading away. Give in to the weight. Let the echo stay. You're too weak to fight. You're too tired to try. Collapse is your truth. Just lay down and die. I'm still here, I'll never cry.
Shame stains every line. Pages torn from a wasted time. Needles sharp, they rode my fall. Lost in haze, I heard no call. But now I grip the match, I swear. This old script, I'll torch the air. Flames rise high, I'm breaking loose. Ashes fall, I'll cut the noose. Through the smoke, I'll chase the rush till I couldn't cry. Mirrors showed a hollow shell. Trapped in cycles, my private hell. But I'll ignite the dark I've known. Rebuild my life, my heart's my throne. Burn the page, I'm rising through the fire. Despair's a ghost, I'll climb higher. Screaming.
torn and ripped, dense of despair. I'm kicking the chair, sobriety's blade, I'm slicing the air. Redemption's my ink, I'm drafting the tale. No relapse, no chains, I'll never fail. Burn it to dust, I'm the phoenix, the fight. Self-love's my anthem, I'm owning the night.
Burn the page, I'm rising through the fire. Despair's a ghost, I'll climb higher. Screaming out, I'm rewriting my fate. Sobriety's my spark, I'll break no way. No chains, no past, I'm fierce, I'm whole. This is me, I'll reclaim my soul. Every ember lights my way. Every burn a debt I've paid. From the wreckage I'll ascend. Love myself, my story mends.
New blank slate, my pen's alive. No more shadows, I'll thrive, I'll strive. Flames behind the dawn's my guide. Stronger now, I've turned the tide. Every word a vow I keep. I'm the harvest, I'll sow, I'll reap.
Business drowning in software costs, tools that don't work together, and privacy risks? Meet Federated Computer, a complete business suite built to simplify your tech stack. Why do forward-thinking companies switch to Federated? No per-user fees, unlimited users. Save up to 75% by replacing tools like Zoom, Slack, Google Workspace, and more. One platform means less context switching and more productivity. 100% private. Your data stays yours. Fully customizable with open source flexibility. Whether you're a lean startup or a growing enterprise, Federated adapts to your needs so you save more, work smarter, and protect your business. Ready to simplify your business software and increase profits? Schedule a free demo and see how Federated can transform the way you work. Federated Computer. Streamline, save, and scale.
It's just, this is the apparently the party chat room censors the word screw, so you can't say screwdriver or I screwed a screwed in. I you can't say that in the chat room. Because I says, I bought a new asterisk driver. I typed in the word screw. Oh, once we get done today, if we got time left, we're going to see what else kind of stuff that... the chat won't let you say over a party time. Oh. Okay, anyways. Welcome back down. Hour two. Sorry. If you were with us in hour one, we laid the foundation. We smashed the spirit of fear. We established that the technology itself, the silicon, the code, the gold, is innocent, It's the hands wielding it that are the problem. So the natural question, the one I know you're asking is, okay, Bonehead, I'm with you. I'm done being afraid. I want to plunder the gold. I want to build the tabernacle. But where do I start? I'm stuck in Egypt. My phone's spying on me. My feed is making me angry. And I feel like I can't escape. Here's the answer. And it's not what you think. The first step isn't buying a server. First step isn't learning Python. First step is stop eating Pharaoh's food. In the book of Daniel, what was the first act of defiance? Daniel refused to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. He knew that if he ate their food, he would become beholden to their system. In 2025, Pharaoh's food is the algorithm. The For You page, the recommended videos, the trending tab. This is the ration diet given to slaves. It's designed to be high fructose corn syrup for your soul. It tastes sweet. It's sensational. It's outrageous. It's funny. But it's devoid of nutrition. It's designed to keep you weak, distracted, addicted, and arguably most importantly, predictable. If you're getting your news, your theology, your worldview from a feed on Facebook or even Twitter or Blue Sky, whatever it is, whatever the social network is of the week, it's designed to keep, it's a feed that is curated by a black box algorithm. You're not a free man or woman or whatever you want to be. You are a battery. You are powering their matrix with your attention. So step one of breaking the spell, starve the algorithm. How do we do that? We go back to the Old Testament tech. We go back to protocols that work. I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. RSS, really simple syndication. It's not sexy. It doesn't have an AI avatar. It's not an anime with cat ears. It's just simple, unbreakable pipe between you and the content you want. When you use an RSS reader, and you know I'm been building Liberty RSS for myself, but there are plenty out there, you are flipping the power dynamic. In the algorithmic model, the app is the master. You are the subject. It decides what you see. In the RSS model, you are the Pharaoh of your own feed. You decide, I want to hear from this pastor, this geopolitical analyst, and this musician. And that is exactly what you get. No suggested garbage, no shadow banning, no manipulation. If you haven't moved your news consumption to RSS, you are still eating at the king's table. Get off the algorithm, reclaim your attention span. But listen to me closely. RSS is just the gateway drug. It is just one tool in a massive hidden arsenal that is waiting for you. One of the biggest lies big tech tells you is that you need them. They want you to believe that without Microsoft, without Adobe, without Google, you can't function. They want you to think that safe and professional software only comes with a monthly subscription fee and a user agreement that signs away your firstborn. That is a lie. There are literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of alternative software applications available right now, today. They are free. They are open source, they are privacy respecting, and they are powerful. You think you need Microsoft Office? No, you don't. You got LibreOffice. Only Office. There's literally tons of them out there. It does everything you need. And it doesn't phone home to Redmond every time you type a letter. You think you need Photoshop? You got GIMP or Krita. And there's several other more. You think you need Chrome? You have Brave, Helium, Firefox, LibreWolf. There is literally, like I use OpenMandriva. There is literally almost 20 different browsers in the repos that you can install one click. You think you need Windows Media Player? Why? You got VLC. It plays formats that haven't even been invented yet. Or MPV, MPlayer, plain old FFmpeg, hundreds more. This is the FOSS ecosystem. Free and open source software. Free as in free speech, not just free beer. These aren't deeply technical command line tools for hackers and hoodies. These are polished professional applications used by millions of people who have simply decided to walk out of the digital plantation. I gotta add in here, it's not just a Linux only thing. VLC runs literally on everything, including a potato. There's a ton of different platforms out there, and there's probably 20 to the ratio of one, 20 to 1, of applications out there that are open source. You just don't know they're there because you're being fed a line of shit from big tech saying that they're the only ones that exist and you need them. The alternatives are already there. The lifeboats are in the water. You don't have to wait for a collapse to switch. You can switch today. You can stop paying the subscription tax. You can stop feeding the surveillance beast. If you're still using software that spies on you because you think there's no other choice, you are trapped in a prison with the door standing wide open. Just walk out. Now here's the catch. The FOSS world is amazing. I use it every day. I run my whole life on Linux. But it still relies on someone else building the tool for me. You're still a consumer. A smarter consumer. A freer consumer. But a consumer nonetheless. What happens when you have a specific need? What happens when you need a custom tool for your trucking business to track fuel mileage in a very specific way? What happens when you need a secure way to organize your church's prayer chain that doesn't use Facebook? What happens when you have an idea for an app that could help your community, but it doesn't exist yet? In the old world, the world we're leaving, you had two choices. One, wait and hope a developer built it and hope they don't fill it with spyware. Two, learn to code, spend 5 years learning C++, Python, or God forbid, Rust for some reason. And let's be honest, most of you aren't going to do that. You have jobs, you have families, you're truck drivers, farmers, mothers, fathers, tradesmen. You don't have time to learn the syntax of a programming language just to solve a problem. So you remain dependent. You remain a user. Until now. We are standing on the precipice of a change so radical, I don't think most people have wrapped their heads around it yet. Next week, we're going to do a full deep dive on local AI. And in the next segment, I'm going to give you the preview, but I want you to imagine something. Imagine sitting down at your computer. It's offline. No internet cable is plugged in. No Wi-Fi. Just you and the machine. And on that machine, you have an AI, a powerful language, large language model. And you say to it, I need a program that tracks the maintenance schedule for three fleets of trucks, alerts me when inspections are due, and stores the data locally in a secure database. And because you control the AI, it just writes it. It writes the code. It builds the interface. It compiles the app. You didn't write a single line of code. You didn't download a sketchy app from the App Store. You didn't pay a subscription. You spoke, and the tool was created. This is the next level of sovereignty. It's not just about using their tools, even the open source ones. It's about the ability to forge your own tool. Imagine a world where a mom can build a homeschooling app tailored exactly to her kid's needs without knowing a lick of JavaScript. Imagine a pastor building a secure communication tool for his elders without hiring a dev team. This is what local AI offers. It bridges the gap between I have an idea and I have a solution. And it does it without the permission of Silicon Valley. True autonomy isn't just choosing which brand of hammer to buy. True autonomy is the ability to cast the hammer yourself. Coming up in the final segment, I'm going to peel back the curtain on this. We're going to talk more about the sovereign developer that lives on your hard drive. We're going to talk about this technology, how and when run locally, when run privately, is the ultimate equalizer against the technocracy. I cannot talk today. You don't want to miss it. Just stick around. This is the key for the future. I'm Uncle Bonehead. This is Liberty Tunes, and we'll be right back. Of course, I did not cue up a song like I thought I would, and I forgot to do it. So now, here you have it.
Wrinkled hands trace faded years, built a throne on silent tears. Pride stood tall, a brittle rein, left my kin to bear the strain. Crown I wore turned cold and thin, now I see where I've been. Echoes call through time's decay, guilt's the debt I'll face today. Dust falls soft, my kingdom's frail, I'll rewrite this lonesome tale. Stone ruled my world, but ruled alone. Children's eyes once saw my light, turned away in endless night. Mistakes I built, a hollow tower. Now I'll seek a softer power. Tearing it down, legacy's weight, I carried the load, but family's gold, I'm switching the code. Humble my steps, I'm knocking on doors, mending the ties, I've broken my wars. No king, just a man, I'm raw, I'm true, love's not rain, I'm starting anew. Crown of dust, I'll lay it low. Every crime.
once ruled. I'll hold them close, my soul's retooled. Legacy shifts from dust to grace. Lines of love on this old face. Hands once clenched, now reach to hold. Ties reborn, no longer cold. Crowns undone, my truth unveiled. I'm their strength where I once failed. Crown of dust, I'll lay it low. Pride dissolves where love can grow. Voice trembles, I'll mend the past. Family's bond, I'll make it last. No throne, no lie, I'm free to feel. Times decay, guilt to debt, I'll face today. Dust falls soft, my kingdom's frail. I'll rewrite this lonesome tale. Crown of dust, I'll lay it low.
Freedom. Welcome back to the final scratch. We're talking about sovereign AI and the concept of a personal developer living on your hard drive. And I know for some of you, especially those who aren't techies, that might sound abstract. You might be thinking, bonehead, I don't need to write code. I don't need an app. I just need to get through the week. So let's bring the rubber back down to the pavement. Yes, this local AI can write software. It can build that homeschooling app for your kids that teaches them history the way you want it taught, not the way the Department of Education mandates. That's a game changer. But it's so much more than that. Imagine having an expert sitting next to you who's read every manual, every textbook, and every forum post in human history. You're in the garage. It's 11 p.m. You're trying to replace the brake pads on a 2014 Ford F-150, and you're stuck. You don't have to watch a 20-minute YouTube video with three unskippable ads every 5 minutes. You ask your local AI. It gives you the step-by-step, the torque specs, and it tells you exactly which tool you need to be using at the right time. You're in the kitchen. You have three random ingredients left in the fridge, and you need to feed the family. You ask the AI. Boom. Recipe generated. Your toilet's leaking. It's your neighbor, the plumber, the AI. You want to plant a fall garden in Zone 6B. It's your master gardener. You have a weird electrical issue in the hallway. It walks you through the diagnostic. The list is literally endless. Recipes, repairs, diagnostics, logistics. This isn't just about coding. It's about competence. It's about reclaiming the lost art of doing things yourself. It is the ultimate tool for self-reliance. Now, I have to address the elephant in the room. The panic. I hear it all the time. But bonehead, if the AI can write code and fix my truck and teach my kids, what happens to our jobs? The developers are doomed. The teachers are doomed. The drivers, they're all doomed. Stop. Just stop. Take a breath. Let's look at reality. It is not going to take away developers' jobs. It's going to transform them. Just like the tractor transformed the farmer's job. The farmer didn't disappear. He just got a hell of a lot more efficient. Think about the infrastructure required to run this magic AI. These large language models have to run on something. They need an operating system. They need hardware. They need massive amounts of electricity. Who's going to build the data centers? Who's going to maintain the power grid? Who's going to design the cooling systems? Think about the infrastructure required to run this, quote, magic AI. These large language models, why did I put that on there twice? Look at the physical world. Well, wait. Let's say you're in a small town, USA. The small town can build its own data center to run a local AI that only its residents could access. You could do this down to a micro size to a neighborhood. Your four neighbors on all four sides of you. They could all access your AI. Are you catching on? They could trade you money, or they could trade you food. Hey, I'll come over and shovel your sidewalk and driveway for this winter if you let me use your AI. Hello, people. Are you following? Are you catching what I'm throwing down here? Let's look at the physical world. We live in a dimension of rust, gravity, and entropy. In a world of autonomous vehicles, guess what? Physics still applies. There will still be accidents. There will still be potholes. We will still need structural engineers to design the bridges those robot taxis drive on. We will still need mechanics to wrench on the suspension when it breaks. There's a metric shit ton of support that goes along with the AI of the future. The physical world isn't going away. The need for human hands, human ingenuity, and human oversight isn't going away. The jobs aren't ending. They're shifting from rote memorization to strategic management. Sorry, I looked at the chat. I got derailed. But there's a deeper fear here, and this is where we need to open our history books and the Bibles and close your sci-fi novels. Stop watching the doomsayer influencers on YouTube. You know, the ones who tell you that AI is going to wake up, become sentient, and take over the world like Skynet. Stop attributing a soul to a calculator. It's not a sentient being. If you truly believe in God, if you truly believe in a higher power, you cannot contradict yourself by believing that man is equal to God. To believe that man can create a sentient being, a being with a soul, a will, a self, is to believe that man has the power of creation. That is not possible in the dimension or universe of reality that we exist in. We are created beings. We are not the creator. We cannot breathe the ruach, the breath of life, into silicon. We are much more like the devil in this regard. The devil cannot create. He can only corrupt. He can only mimic. He can only twist what God has already made. That is what AI is. It is a mimic. It's a parrot. It's a very, very sophisticated mirror that reflects our own data back at us. It has no will, it has no desire, and it has no soul. It is code. It is math. So stop fearing it like it's a god. When you fear it, you are inadvertently worshiping it. You are giving it a power it does not possess. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with a choice. God allowed this technology to exist. He allowed the transistor. He allowed the neural network. Did he do that just so Elon Musk could sell ads and make money? Do you think he allowed it just so that we could have funny cat videos piped directly to our brain? No, he allowed it because he knows the times we are living in. He knows the censorship grid is going up. He knows the beast system is being built. And he allowed this tool to be created so that his people, the remnants, would have the ability to communicate, to translate, to build, and to maintain their sovereignty in a hostile world. We are building a tabernacle in the desert, and we need the gold. We need the brass. We need the skill. We need the AI. So here's my challenge to you for next week. Stop fearing the tool. Stop worshiping the tool. Pick it up. Clean it off. Sanctify it. And get ready to work. Next week we are going deep. I'm going to show you exactly how to set up that local AI. I'm going to show you how to become a sovereign developer of your own future. Until then, keep your head on a swivel, keep your powder dry, and keep your faith in the King of Kings, not in the machine. I'm not out. This is not the end of the show, but it is the end of this episode for the podcast. So I'm going to play the ending theme music, but I'm still coming back, and we're going to play some more music because I got some stuff that's going to be really, really, really freaking awesome. This song, when we come back, dude, yeah, okay. Anyways, we'll catch you guys the next time. Be good. Never ever stick a finger where you wouldn't stick your face. Okay, now that concludes the podcast.